The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Miracle. Because traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling 6 times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Miracle. It's August 18th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. How the hell is it already the end of August? Today on our show, we once made a deal with Google. That deal has changed. The unspoken AI enthusiasm gap at large companies. The road ahead for commerce.com. And an update on gnawing your arm off or replatforming. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, we once made a deal with Google. That deal has changed. While many are cheering the advent of AI and are saying it's here, for most people, the consequential aspect of the last couple of years has been Google trading the list of blue links for its AI overviews. If you think your organic traffic has tanked, just be glad you're not a news site. But what was the original deal that we all made? You give Google all of your great content in an open way, and Google will offer a way for your content to get eyeballs for free, or that's what you told yourself. In short, like Darth Vader, Google has altered the deal. In reality, it was never much of a deal insofar as it was never guaranteed. Google has decided that disrupting yourself is a far better fate, and what's the result? In Q2 of this year, Google search ad revenue was up 12% year-over-year over a ginormous base due to better targeting and results produced by AI. This is compared to 14% year-over-year last year, down slightly, but not as much as your organic traffic, I imagine. And as a result, your website's organic traffic seems to be the trade-off made to secure those continued search ad revenue gains. In other words, Google's going to be just fine, folks. The movie Team America offers another bit of wisdom to harness our current dilemma. Freedom isn't free. It costs a heavy fucking fee. Freedom costs $1.05. Overall, we simply don't know what Google will become next, but we do know what will influence gobs and gobs of advertising revenue. Ditto Meta. And by the way, asking for a friend, why would anyone want a global superintelligence created by an advertising company? An answer to that question I'm still waiting for. Many have not even stopped to think about why they have already moved on from speaking about SEO to now GEO. Beware what new deal you're getting yourself into without you realizing. OpenAI, I think, could be a different kind of company. Compared to Meta and Google, the company is much less beholden to advertising. They could be the ones to pursue a more Apple-like approach to the market. The addition of Fiji Simo and Johnny Ive only reinforced this in my mind, as Instacart's revenue as a percentage of ads has been steady at 30% the last 5 years, despite the absolute number going up. And I don't need to speak about Johnny Ive's focus on product experience. As a result, I would very much consider OpenAI the wild card in this market. Our next story, the AI barbell effect, the unspoken AI enthusiasm gap at big companies. Software vendors might find comfortable leaders blocking AI experimentation, and objections may not show up actively, but more silently. I've been interviewing a set of SaaS CEOs who are exploring how to adopt software. Some of them have reported to me that their counterparts and old colleagues at big companies are discovering a barbell effect inside larger organizations. On one side, you have a group of change agent senior leaders who want to make things happen. Then you have a middle group of employees that are just comfortable, not wanting to change or investigate much. Note, they are not truly incentivized to do so either. Now you have the rank-and-file employees that are willing to create their own mandate, sticking their neck out, creating experiments, using the latest tools, sharing knowledge. This group is often politically inexperienced and unfamiliar with selling change in the wider organization. In the middle of the barbell is the problem. giving lip service to the CEO's AI noises and blocking widespread organizational adoption. The only solution is simple: demonstrated success. Slowly add to your user group, share successes, teach new skills and learnings. Telling people to try it and expecting them to listen is not enough. Showing them, holding their hand, and seeing the light come on is the only way forward. Confidence in anything new comes only from repeated demonstrated success. Otherwise, employees who simply don't get it will never get there for fear of looking dumb. For software providers, this is a warning call. You are in the early adopter or pioneer phase. If you're selling pioneer AI software to homesteaders focused only on year-over-year numbers, your software better be incredibly easy to adopt, not take massive tech investment, and generate less than 30-day ROI. Otherwise, be prepared for an uphill battle. After all, people still got to hit their numbers. Our third story, the road ahead for commerce.com. I've been thinking about the rebrand recently, in particular, all the different legs of the stool that they talked about. Let's talk about BigCommerce for a second, the company that just seems to keep perpetually chopping wood. And if B2B is the thing behind the entire company, I do think it's still somewhat hard to scale a B2B platform that isn't married to an ERP. The ridiculous number of niches and what people call B2B does make it difficult to achieve the same echo chamber effect that exists in a business-to-consumer segment. Of course, there are too many damn niche ERPs to make this strategy viable, probably, but if you pick on a good and growing one, the valuation could potentially solve your problem. I would love to see the ultimate private equity buyer be an ERP system. Acumatica was just acquired by Vista Equity for $2 billion. Commerce.com market cap is now sitting at $300 million. And of course, you can't B2B without an ERP. Just saying. Also, if you really are just a flexible front end to an ERP, then it seems like you would want to combine this with Makeswift. Don't separate it. So if private equity is ultimately the destination, how do we get there? On the Makeswift side, the company was acquired in 2023, and you might mark that time as peak mock. BigCommerce messaging still kind of suffers from somewhat Commerce Tools FOMO. 2 years after Frontastic was acquired by Commerce Tools, BigCommerce acquires Makeswift, so they could kind of point to an approach. The problem is, a generic content management system or visual editor inside of a platform loses its other platform partners almost immediately. If it's the best content system in the world, it doesn't need to be attached to a flagging platform. The ideal business model for one of these systems is used across every major e-com platform ever and across many industries that would never even need commerce. If one of the real problems is that the native page builder inside of BigCommerce is hot garbage, then really, I probably shouldn't know the name Makeswift at all. It should just be called BigCommerce. If the narrative is really that agentic is the thing, why do I need a front-end website? Asking for a friend. So we have problems in a few different directions here, regardless of how you answer them. In other words, probably what I think is that they should have blamed it on the last guy, but now you own it and makes it more complicated. All this to say, this company was ultimately a feature, and personally, I think you unnecessarily cheapened the commerce.com rebrand slightly by elevating this feature to the same level as Feedonomics and BigCommerce. On the Feedonomics front, it is the future, but it's also not incredibly straightforward. The best asset is the stickiness of the relationships, but the entire thing still needs to be reinvented, and there is a foundation to work from. All this to say, kudos to Travis for taking a point of view and steering the ship in a direction. Here's to seeing what the next 12 months looks like. And our last story, an update on gnawing your arm off or replatforming. If anything, this replatform prediction has aged better than almost anything I've ever written. Even if you are a platform company, selling the platform itself is turning out to be bad business, and many conversations produce these thoughts that follow. On the Shopify front, enterprise, B2B, and their POS businesses will ultimately need more than Stripe can deliver. Surely that has to change at some point. Bueller? Bueller? Who would like to buy some Shop Pay? It's easier than a replatform, I promise, said every Shopify sales engineer 3 times this past week. We'll find out soon if the staying power of Shopify employees outlasts an enterprise-length sales cycle. Salesforce loves selling agents so that it can sell data. Also, renewals are a thing. Salesforce.com is still harder to dislodge than most would like to admit. Time is a flat circle, said a Salesforce sales rep in a renewal conversation, or Matthew McConaughey in a recent Salesforce commercial. BigCommerce is, of course, repositioning Feedonomics after finding it amongst the couch cushions in Austin, Texas after a recent remodel. Who the hell knew we even had this damn thing? Which is not an actual Travis Hess quote. System integrators are pivoting in response to this. Data, order management, AI, service, and marketing are all more attractive businesses than site rebuilds. Run away, run away! Monty Python or, potentially, system integrator CEOs. Also, system integrator CEOs, why the hell aren't I in a higher partner tier? As the great modern philosopher Rosie Perez said in White Men Can't Jump, sometimes when you win, you really lose, which reminds me of a system integrator winning a new platform build. It's that time, friends, for our investor minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Amazon is acquiring Bee, maker of a wearable AI assistant. Amazon is acquiring Bee, a wearable AI assistant, for an undisclosed amount, according to LinkedIn posts from Bee's CEO and co-founder Maria DeLourdes-Zola. Second, Generous Brands to acquire Health Aid Kombucha for $500 million. Generous Brands, a portfolio company of Butterfly Equity, announced that it acquired Health Aid from private equity investors First Bev and Manatree Partners for a reported $500 million. The acquisition will enable Generous Brands to have a portfolio of products that generate almost $1 billion in retail sales. Third, Little Sesame closes $8.5 million in Series A funding. Hummus brand Little Sesame has closed an $8.5 million Series A funding round that will be invested in production expansion, product development, and hiring. I see what they did there with that name. Fourth, vehicle checkout platform Echo, EKHO, raises $17.3 million in funding. Echo, a compliant vehicle checkout platform, has raised $17 million in seed and Series A funding that will be used to hire engineering talent, improve state-by-state compliance, and product development. And finally, Buena Vista Creative acquires D2C Design. Florida-based digital marketing agency Buena Vista Creative announced it has acquired D2C Design, a Canadian design agency, to grow its direct-to-consumer business. Terms of the transaction were not disclosed. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out The Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find The Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.